All right, friends, hour number two starts right now, Tuesday, January 12, 2021. I'm proud to announce that for the first time in the new year, I did not write the incorrect year on my notepad. You know, every morning I have my process. John Bird knows how a creature of habit I am, or what a creature of habit I am, and I wrote 2021 this morning without having to scratch out 2020 in the first place. So that's progress. Thank you, John. That's progress. Before the middle of the month, I think I feel pretty good about that. 545-9950, if you'd like to be a part of the show. I know many of you are just waking up long into the night on a Monday evening. You celebrated, if you are an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, the national championship that represents, what are we calling it? It's Nick Saban's sixth with Alabama, seventh overall. He is the winningest football coach regarding national championships in the history of the game. He has tied Paul Bear Bryant's record of six at one school. And, you know, there's as long as the guy wants to coach, he certainly has a job at the University of Alabama, greatest college football coach in the history of the game. So congratulations to that. What are we calling this 18? Is that correct?
Yes.
Very good. All right. Now can all of my friends at Alabama, you University of Alabama, can we get back to saving the damn country now? Is that okay with everyone? Come on!
I give everyone permission.
Well, Sarah Killian says that they deserve 24 hours. I'm gonna limit it to 12. So by like 4 o'clock this afternoon, I need you back on board, please. Leland Live will be presented at that time. Well, he'll be on for an hour, but I'll give you that extra hour. 545-9950. That would be the Birmingham Broker phone line. Big tech and what it means to you. There's a lot of people that are trying to confuse you regarding what's going on here. But I might have a solution, inspired by the aforementioned Leland Whaley. More on that in a second. Right now, Gavin is in Hickory, and Gavin, it's your turn. What's up, man?
Hey, buddy. You doing okay today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I just wanted to put my two cents in with the Facebook thing. And it really shouldn't surprise anybody what they are doing, because I don't have one. I've never had one, but I see all my friends constantly, and it makes people self-centered trying to get a like or whatever, and it alienates you. And I drive for a living, and there's a lot more people that agree or are like-minded, so the same as me or you, but half the time people can't pull their face off the phone to actually have a conversation. And I just think it's a vicious cycle, and that's why half the people are addicted to it, because they want to get that like. And it says it brings people closer, but as far as I can tell, I think they use it just to make you feel like you're more alone, because you get more people that argue with you than you actually do that agree with you.
Well, there's a lot of arguing going on social media nowadays, especially. There's no doubt about that. If you have kept yourself away from social media, you're one of the few. A lot of people have become absorbed by it. Many of them have become addicted to it. And like you say, here's a little test. And Gavin, you've probably done this in your own life. When you're driving your car and you get to a stoplight and you've got cars around you, look at the people in the cars around you, and look how many of them, as soon as they get to the red light, immediately grab their phone and look at it.
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying. I drive a truck for a living. I see it all day long, every day.
Oh, my God, I bet you do. And it is dangerous, and driving and looking at your phone is like drunk driving, and people are addicted to these things, and they're texting and doing all of that. It's crazy.
I had a guy in Charlotte the other day driving a big old F-250 pickup truck, looking at his phone, and veered into the side of the truck, knocked his mirror off, and then picked his phone right back up and then took off.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's nonstop, and they can't put it down. So,
we need to use this as a wake up call to remind ourselves that we lived a long time in this country without Facebook or Google. I know Google is more integrated into our daily lives and integrated into the internet, but there are other things to use. I mean, I'm exploring DuckDuckGo. I think it's high time that we start dissolving ourselves. Now, not you, Gavin, because you've maintained a little distance from some of these organizations.
Well, that's true, but can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, I understand, you know, like you guys and the people on the radio, you're a public figure, and I get needing the social media. But, and I get it gives you the chance to talk to some people that you normally wouldn't. But do you really consider the friends on Facebook or whatever, Twitter or whatever you're following? Is it really a friend? I mean, because the way I was raised, a friend, somebody you call when you need something, and they'll actually help you. Because all the other stuff is just a waste of time. It's icing on the cake that doesn't make any difference.
No. Well, to answer your question directly, no. In the classical definition of the term friend, that has changed, though. And I think mostly people call their followers or people that they associate with on Facebook friends because that's what Facebook calls them. Right.
Yeah, some of the
people,
the definition of a friend.
Well, I never transitioned over to a public page. So I have technically a private page. I mean, not private in the sense that you can't find it, private in the sense that it's a personal page. So they cap the number of people at 5,000. So I've been at 5,000 forever. That said, and people can't get on there. That said, a lot of those people I know, a lot of those people I am friends with, and many of those are listeners to the show. And I consider listeners to be friends, although the conversation oftentimes is very much one-sided. That said, yeah, no, it's different. I mean, those are, especially for us, you know, oftentimes there are plenty of people on there that I've never met, but they listen to me on the radio. They have listened to me on the radio for years. And if they consider us friends, then I go along with it.
Well, I can understand that. Like I said, I've listened to you guys since you came on the radio with your new station years ago, and it might seem odd, but I consider y'all friends and family. I don't call often, but like I said, I drove the roads and I listened to y'all all day long. So, but I get it. But like I said, I just think it's in society in general, you're losing the concept of what it actually means to have a friend or to meet that like-minded person, because it's not that hard to find one if you're just brave enough to pick your face up and actually have a conversation.
Well, the world has... I was thinking about this last night. Thanks, Gavin, for the call. The world has gotten so small, meaning that we are so in touch with everything that's going on in the world in a moment-by-moment time frame that we're not in touch with those things around us, even our own family, even our own friends. One of the moments in my radio history that made me realize what a sea change social media had created was during the tsunami over in Japan, that Tokushima or whatever, Fukushima, the nuclear power plant that was overrun by the tsunami and eventually had to be shut down. During that disaster, I was on air. These were long before the Talk 99.5 days. I want to say that we were between 100.5 and Talk 99.5 on WAPI on the AM only. Some people, believe it or not, still listen on the AM. We're simulcasting on there right now, 1070 AM. And we started getting reports in the early morning hours about a tsunami that was headed toward a nuclear power plant in Japan. And I went online on Twitter, and you do a, you know, if you know what you're doing, it doesn't take very long before I had three accounts that were from Japan, from, gosh, is it Fukushima? I think that might be wrong. I just might be making that word up. But I had three accounts giving me eyewitness reports in real time as to what was going on in Japan at the moment that the tsunami hit. Incredible. Incredible technology. Incredible that we have that breaking news at our fingertips. That's the positive side of all of this. One of them. One of the negatives, however, is what I see at restaurants on a regular basis and what I do at restaurants on a regular basis. I admit to doing it too. You're sitting with a family member, you're sitting with friends, and look, I understand you're comfortable with them. You don't have a lot to say, but I mean, even in a circumstance where there's four friends sitting together, one would think that they went out to be with their friends and all they're doing is they've got their heads stuffed in their phones. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you that social media, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, these in a different way, the social media sites like Instagram, they are changing the way that we are thinking. Watch Social Dilemma. It is intentional. And they're creating an addiction, and it will be painful for you to break it if you have found yourself immersed in social media for months or years. Like me, I found myself doing that too. I'm breaking the chain. It is difficult. I still monitor because I want to look at the DMs. I want to make sure because I'm still in the midst of the decision-making process, almost done, but in the decision-making process of how I'm going to handle this. And let me tell you, I'm leaving Facebook. And I'm probably leaving Twitter. Almost certainly. Twitter is an absolute cesspool of disgusting behavior. It is what happens when people can anonymously say anything they want and feel like they have some sort of power as a result. Really sad. Because it is such a valuable resource in some other ways. And now they've decided to selectively pick who they're going to choose as winners and losers. But Facebook, I'll be out. When they start censoring in the fashion that they are, I'm heading over to MeWe. You can find me on MeWe. All I can tell you is look up Matt Murphy and look for my ugly mug, and there I am. Find me on MeWe right now, as a matter of fact. I just admonished you Alabama fans to get back with the world saving, would you? We live in a dangerous place where we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to be limited by the thought police on social media to get our fix? We're junkies. Yeah, I'm putting it back on us. We're junkies. And the price of the horse just went up. You willing to pay it? At what point will it become a price too high? Now, I have a solution, though, and it was inspired by something Leland said yesterday. More on that in a second. Many of you want to talk. And let's get to line three. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. John, you and I had the pleasure of going out to Give Blood Saturday morning at Life South, and I encourage all of you to do that. And Trucker Glenn inspired us to do just that. Trucker Glenn called us up and said, hey, we ought to give blood together, and we did. Trucker Glenn was there, and I got the chance to meet this lovely young lady in person for the first time. We've heard her on the radio in the past. Her name is Amelia. It is the daughter of Trucker Glenn. Hey, Amelia.
Hello, and roll tide.
Well, roll tide to you there, Amelia. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good. It was good to see you the other day.
Good to see you too.
Yeah, how was the birthday party?
It was awesome.
Was it now? What did you guys have cake?
Yep.
Mhm. Was there a bouncy house?
No, but there was trampoline.
Oh, okay. Well, probably for the best on those bouncy houses. Those bouncy houses make me throw up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're very excited about the outcome of the game last night, Amelia. Did your dad let you stay up until it was over?
Nope.
No.
I had to go to sleep for school.
You tell your dad that he's mean, not letting you stay up till the end of the game, okay?
No, I'm not going to tell him.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't blame you for that. You just kind of did, but that's okay. Hey, Amelia, I have a. May I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Did you see your boyfriend at the birthday party?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun.
Yeah? What's his name?
Yeah. Dalton.
Dalton, yeah. And you guys get a chance to talk?
Yeah, we were playing hide and seek with some other people who were invited. So,
did Dalton try to hold your hand?
Of course.
Oh, wow, did you let him?
Yeah, a little bit.
Uh-huh. Well,
a little tiny bit.
You don't, you know, It's always here's my advice to you, Amelia. Now you make sure that your dad's cool with this advice. But my advice would be, you know, don't let him hold your hand every time, but maybe every once in a while, because you want to let him know that you like him, but you don't want to let him take advantage of that hand holding. You know. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Hey, Amelia, it was good to meet you. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see each other again very soon.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
bye.
All right. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
See you later. There's Amelia. Hand holding Amelia.
She's great, and she's really good with, you know, the triangle game that they have with golf tees.
Uh huh.
Boy, she just ruined me.
Yeah, she told me that you couldn't get less than three.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was kind of dizzy from giving blood. Well, no, actually, I hadn't given blood yet.
Let me tell you something, pal. You were a champ giving the blood the other day. Never done it before in your life. You went in there, gave the blood, got up, ate the cookie, off you go.
No, the breakfast bar, which I thought was good for me, but I found out through Way to Wellness, it was not.
No, there's a lot of bad things in there. More on Way to Wellness in a minute. You weighed in yesterday, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
All right, Grandma Dusty, getting to you momentarily, 17 after the hour. Sisk Tree Service, my man Marcus Sisk. I know Marcus a long time. Marcus does a lot of great things with wood, whether it's flooring. He does some great tile work as well, I can tell you from personal experience. But what he does in his day job with his brother and their crew, Sisk Tree Service, they remove those trees that are a danger to your family and your property. Look, don't do this yourself. Allow the experts to come in and safely remove trees. When you get a large tree there that's somewhere near your house or just on your property generally, if you've got 5-10 trees, you can't do that on your own. You need Sisk Tree Service. Have you ever seen a tree come down? A big one? It's a lot bigger on the ground than it is in the air, isn't it? And I know a lot of guys that regret not calling Sisk Tree when they, oh, sure, you cut it down. Now you got to cut it up. Now you got to take it away. Good luck. Don't do that. Call Sisk. Be the smart guy. 746-4722. 746-4722. Thank you, Valerie. Let's get back to the telephones momentarily. I mentioned some local stories of note, one happening in South Shelby County. We'll delve into this more in depth tomorrow, but apparently there is a debate going on amongst South Shelby County residents of an unincorporated nature as to whether or not to allow an EMS company, an emergency medical services company, to come in and take over a medical service in that community, which is now volunteer. Currently, they have a volunteer EMS where you voluntarily pay and it's organized and they do what they can. What they're attempting to do is shift that to a mandated pay service, which a lot of people are pushing back on. We're going to get into that story tomorrow. More in depth. Right now, talking about big tech and what to do about it. Obviously, congratulating the University of Alabama, plus stupid impeachment talk. ABC stores closing for no... close them all. Matt Gibson. No, close them all. And in their wake, open up the free market and allow private business to buy at a better price wholesale. We do not need an ABC board in Alabama. We're wasting money. And stop telling me that it makes money, because you're treating me like I'm Boo Boo the Clown. I'm not Boo Boo the Clown. You're Boo Boo the Clown, Matt Gibson. More coming up on that. Right now, it's Grandma's turn. Grandma, good morning.
Well, good morning, Matt, and happy
Grandma.
New Year to you.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
Matt, I'm doing just fine.
Day by day?
Day by day. Grace of God.
Hmm.
Love of family.
Well, I sure love you.
Well, I sure love y'all, too. The gentleman who called earlier said he'd been listening to y'all for so long, and he felt like you were family. I thought, my goodness, yes, sir. I
hear
that, and I'm right with him.
Grandma, I hate to do this, family. I got to put you on hold. Hold on a second, and we will we'll talk momentarily about the telephone. Trucker Glenn's there, too. Dusty, good to you after Grandma. Hang in there. Matt Murphy, Talk 99.5. Here's Valerie Vining. She's got a batch of first news. Talk 99.5 as we continue talking big tech this morning primarily and what it means. Our addiction to social media has now bitten us on the rear end as some of these organizers and controllers of these big tech companies have decided they want to control your thoughts and they want to censor you if you think wrong. The thought police, as it were, are out and about. Is this illegal? Is it somehow running afoul of the First Amendment? I do not believe so. They are a privately owned business. However, they do have made available to them certain exceptions within rules and structures that we've set up as government that I think ought to be revisited, specifically Section 230 of the code that prevents suing certain organizations and prevents them from culpability or liability should untrue, false things be stated on their platforms. When you begin picking and choosing based on broad categories, winners and losers on your platform, when you begin censoring thought generally, which is what they did on Facebook and what they've done on Twitter and now what they're attempting to do with Parler, that's a dangerous place to be. You're marginalizing people to the point that they feel like they have no outlet. You're radicalizing those people, in a sense, because they feel like at every turn they're being shut down. That's dangerous. Real quick, I thought this yesterday when I was listening to Leland, and he was talking about dissolving ourselves from Facebook. We do this, and he did it, because of a situation where he put up what was clearly satire, and it reminded me, and he referenced it, it reminded me of, and I'd forgotten the name, Charlie Hebdo, or Hebdo, the publication in France that published cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, and they did so in a manner in which to express their support for free speech. And they got killed because of it. Radical Muslims slaughtered those people simply over a cartoon depicting Muhammad. Leland put up a satirical cartoon of a Twitter bird that looked like Hitler. And the caption was, "Twitler." It's funny. Funny because in advance of some of the atrocities that Hitler engaged in during World War II and before, Adolf Hitler began the process of censoring his people in Germany to the point that you could not have a thought outside of the boundaries allowed by the government, lest you fear being arrested and confined. Similarly, don't go outside of the boundaries of the thought that Twitter allows, lest they ban you or purge you. Satire. Facebook suspended Leland as a result, and Leland suspended Facebook right back. Good for you, Leland. But here was my quick thought. I know that many of you do not believe that you have an avenue. You feel helpless right now. What with Joe Biden set to be the 46th president, and you feel like things went on. You can call it stolen if you want. I don't. I never have, by the way. As a matter of fact, some of you have dinged me for not using that word, and I don't use that word because I don't know that word carries weight, and I've not seen the evidence. I do not believe that voting machines were flipped. I don't. I do believe that if we counted all legal votes, Trump won. And I've said that from the beginning. Trump won. If only legal votes were counted that were cast in a legal fashion, Trump won. But that's not what happened. We were loosey-goosey, unfortunately. That to say, many of you feel hopeless and helpless as a result. And some of those feelings maybe manifested themselves in allowing people to lose their damn minds last week. Because that's what happened on Capitol Hill. People lost their damn minds, and they're going to lose their freedom as a result. Arrest, prosecute. So what do? Well, if we leave Facebook individually, if I leave and you leave and she leaves and he leaves, will Facebook eventually notice? Yeah, they'll see their numbers dwindling, but it will not send the message that I think we should send. And I know what you're thinking. Facebook doesn't care if you leave, Murphy. They don't give a rip if you're gone. Good riddance to bad rubbish, Facebook will say. How many people voted for Donald Trump? 75 million? Maybe a little bit more? How many people are on Facebook? Would you care to take a guess, John Byrd, as to how many people are on Facebook? How many Facebook accounts there are, at least? There's a lot of them.
I would say probably maybe 10 million.
Facebook accounts?
Yes. Is that off?
I'm going to give you a chance to think about this for a minute.
But there's a lot of people.
Okay, there's 330 million people in the United States of America, thereabouts.
Oh, okay.
Facebook is a worldwide company. There's a little over 7 billion.
Worldwide.
7 billion people.
Okay, I'm going to say 1.15 billion.
Okay, that's a radical change from the 10 million, but I
well,
appreciate
it. You gave me more information.
I appreciate
calculate,
it.
See. All right, how close am I?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to find out together. Wow. That can't be right.
Am I low?
You're low.
What?
This claim's 2.7 billion. I don't know that I believe that. 2.7 billion? Well, regardless, let's say it's 2 billion. Okay, let's round down and say it's 2 billion.
All right.
What is 2 billion? 2 billion is 2,000 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 2 billion is 2,000 million. What if I told you that we could get 50 million of those to leave Facebook collectively? Do you not think that they would notice? Do you not think that Facebook as a company would notice? Do you not think that Mark Zuckerberg would notice? You damn right he would. 2.5% of his usership gone?
Yep, and sponsors would notice too.
Mm-hmm. I think we should agree to leave Facebook and Twitter. For that matter, we can live without these people. What do you say? All right, Grandma has called up, and I want her a chance to finish. Grandma, sorry about the delay. Good morning.
Good morning. That's fine. I don't do Facebook.
Good for you.
And my husband never did Facebook. But I have to say, I do have a Facebook account, which I will cancel. But I tell people I stalk on Facebook. I don't ever put anything on there, but I go in there and see what's happening. But anyway, I want to speak up on behalf of ye old telephone. We have forgotten how well people can communicate through the telephone. And I'm talking about landlines, which is what I'm speaking on right now. Am I clear?
You sound great.
And I don't have to charge a battery. This call isn't going to get dropped, I hope. And I don't know, I just feel more secure with a landline.
You know,
are
I lost.
Friends?
Well, I had a landline because I had it in combination with my cable.
Yeah.
And so my internet cable and my landline were all linked together. Mm-hmm. I had my septic tank pumped out last spring. And in doing so, Shane, my septic tank guy, cut a line. And he said, hey, they're not supposed to put these lines over the septic tank, but they did, and it was my cable. Well, and it was my phone line. So I got the cable repaired, so the cable's back, the internet's back, but the phone line is not. So I haven't had a home phone, although I'm paying for it. I haven't had a home phone since March. And I got to tell you, Grandma, I haven't missed it. I haven't missed it a bit.
I know, because you do your cell phone.
That's right.
All the time.
That's right.
That's what everybody does. And my friends are doing that. They say they don't like all the telemarketing calls that come on them. But you know, I'm not going to walk around my house with my cell phone in my hand all the time. And I can't always hear it ring.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't mind you. I mean, I think it's good. I think a lot of people share your feelings that you got to have a landline for a certain sense of security and protection.
Yeah.
I get
remember
it.
When everybody used to work for Bell South? John said his daddy worked for Bell South for like 30 or 40 years.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, a lot of people are leaving big tech, and you keep that landline, Grandma, and you keep your head up and know that we love you, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Love y'all, too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Have
All right.
a good week.
Yes, ma'am. You too. Call us back now. Trucker Glenn's coming. Dusty's coming first. Scott, you're there, too. One available 42 after the hour. We'll take a quick little timeout. And back in a moment. Talk 99. Bye. Talk 99, 547 after. A dangerous censorship, an encroachment on your ability to reach like-minded people on the social media communities of Facebook, Twitter, no more Parler, Amazon, and Google choosing to, quote-unquote, deplatform that organization. And they're suing now Amazon specific. I think, well, it's Amazon or Apple. I guess it's Amazon because they had the servers. It should concern the hell out of you that these companies worked in concert to squash a social media platform because of political positions being allowed on that platform. Especially when the double standard exists, and all throughout the summer, we heard from random and anonymous individuals on Twitter, Facebook, and the like, organizing and discussing harming business communities, harming businesses themselves, and even harming cops and citizens. And they did nothing. All right, Dusty, what's up, man? How are you? Glad you called.
I am doing good, man. I'm doing good. Speaking of the addiction, my daughter's 12. She's had a phone for like, let's see, a little over a year. And she was so addicted to this TikTok. When I finally took it away from her, she's always walking around going Corvette, 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 and it's some kind of little thing they do on TikTok. Don't ask me what, I don't know. We passed a Corvette on the road. She said, "Wow, Dad, what kind of car was that?" I said, "You don't know?" I said, "You don't know?" She said, "No." I said, "That's a Corvette." And she goes, "Oh, Corvette, Corvette," and I was like, "Give me your phone." I took her phone and I deleted TikTok off of it. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. That little microcosm of you're running around blurting out stuff you see on social media. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're running around saying Corvette, Corvette because it's some little TikTok dance y'all do. You don't even know what you're talking about. It just so happened it was a car, not something disgusting or perverted.
Right.
And that's when I took it away from her. Right there. I said, you don't understand what's going on in your brain right now. I said, and she has so been out of shape about it because She got the new iPhone, whatever, for Christmas, so she won't be bullied for having an Android no more. My God, whatever. And she's so been out of shape because I won't let her have TikTok on her phone. It's the only social media that we ever let her have anyways. But she's so been out of shape, it's like she is coming off of a heroin withdrawal.
Yep.
I mean, it is bad.
Don't know what to do. Just take her phone and watch. I mean, and look, I don't have any kids, so I don't know what you're going through with the 12-year-old, Dusty, but I know this.
It's bad.
You take... over the weekend, and I was still monitoring, and I'm just using myself as an example. I'm being honest with you guys. I use it as a resource for the radio show. That's how it began. That's how my Twitter experience began. It's how my Facebook experience began. And over the weekend, I had committed on Friday. I made the decision that I was no longer going to post. I was going to monitor, and I needed to figure out where the hell I am on this because I have to practice what I preach. And if big tech is going to try to squash us, put their thumb on us in this fashion – there's a manner in which we can fight back, and I'm willing to do that. But I had withdrawals over the weekend. I would monitor the thing, and I want to comment on this, or, oh, I want to forward this, or, oh, I want to share this with my friends. And I couldn't do any of that. And even that little step, I had to stop myself on occasion. I was writing tweets, and, oh, wait a minute, you're not doing that anymore. They've reprogrammed our brains.
It's completely, and I hear you watch that documentary I asked you to. It's really eye-opening. It really makes
it is no doubt. The Social Dilemma, everyone should watch The Social Dilemma. Everyone.
It is so eye-opening, people. But anyhow, I got another little comment about something that's really kind of, you know, I'm not even a pro-vaccine person, but we've been given over 300,000 doses of the vaccine, and they've only gave out like 48,000 as of a day or so ago. What is going on? Why are they not sticking these vaccines in people's arms so we can get back to normal? I don't understand that. For the life of me, Matt Murphy, I'm just a simpleton, but I don't understand why we're holding over 200,000 vaccines. And then we say, people said, I'm working for a couple right now. They're over 75. And she said, yeah, they said we're going to be able to get the vaccine, but not for another 10 days.
Well,
a few days ago.
Dusty, you're sharing that thought with the Trump administration. Because the Trump administration yesterday asked the states what the hell's going on here? We've given you all of these vaccines. We're hearing stories about vaccines becoming dangerously close to expiring. And you're not giving them out more in a more speedy fashion. What they believe is that the states have too narrowly focused their first dosage criteria to the point that it is limiting their speed in order to get it to the people that need it the most.
It makes no sense. If it was a draft to drag our sons into war, it would happen so fast. They'd come dragging people off their couches. But since it's a vaccine to save lives, it's like, oh, we're going to slow down. We know we got people that want it that'll come get in line and take it. But, 10 more days, everybody. 10 more days. It doesn't make any sense, Matt. But I'm going to let y'all have a good day.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you, Dusty. The pace of the vaccine is directly related to the states. In other words, the states individually decide who gets it. Every state has their own plan for who should be vaccinated based on recommendations from the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC recommendations give priority to healthcare workers and nursing home residents, but this pace is inadequate, and the pace is a result of how the states are doing their business. Now is the time to move to the next phase of this program, and I don't know if Alabama's doing it. I haven't talked to Dr. Scott Harris. I've not talked to the governor's office. I would imagine that they're invested in getting the most people the vaccine as quickly as possible. One would think that's the case. I would hope. The federal government can only do so much. The Trump administration can only do so much. Now, you know, of course, Joe Biden says that once his administration comes into office, he'll take over. You know, Joe Biden's the real authoritarian. You understand that? Oh, that's not a dirty word anymore? Now that it's a Democrat? Oh, got it. ABC stores are closing. I'll make my case why all of them should close. Every single one of them. Shutter their doors. No more leases. No more employees. No more $40,000 plus in salaries. Did you know that's the average salary of the... Did you know that? Oh, don't you look at me that job. Don't you do it. They're not hiring, by the way. Crap. Not right now. All that to come. Halfway home. Matt Murphy.